Welcome to chapel. I've got a message for you from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. So if you turn in your Bibles, Joshua chapter 3. Let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. And Lord, thank you for this time in your word. I pray that it will be profitable for these teens as they begin the new school year ahead. Lord, pray you meet with us and fill me with your spirit as I bring what you've laid on my heart to share with them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Joshua chapter 3, we'll look at the first five verses of the chapter. There it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." So have you ever had a situation where you had to do something that you had never done before, and you had to use maybe some tools that you had never had to use before, or follow some instructions that you had never heard before or had to use before? Maybe it's something that was completely foreign to you, but maybe kind of familiar to you in some ways. And did you ever goof that thing up because the tools that you were using were kind of like tools that you had used before, or the instructions were kind of similar to instructions that you followed to do this other thing, and wound up at the end of it with some sort of big mess because you assumed you knew what you were doing. You assumed you knew how to use the tool that you needed to use, or you assumed that the end product that you were shooting for was similar to something that you had done before. See, this school year ahead of you can be just like that. You have to realize that, like the Jewish people in our story, and this pressure's on. I kind of take the focus of my text as the last part of this verse, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." You haven't been this way. You haven't come this way before. You see, for the Israelites, things were going to be different now. They'd come out of Egypt. They had spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness because of their sin, their refusal to go into the promised land. And here's the next generation that's come up, and they're about to go into that land. Now, you get out in that area of the world, and it probably doesn't look too much different from 1 mile to the next, or from 50 miles to the next 50 miles. Maybe kind of like when you get out in the Midwest. It's just miles and miles of the same thing. So they may have been kind of familiar with that sort of territory and encountered rivers and stuff before, but this was going to be different. They were headed into a place that they hadn't been before, these particular people. Now, obviously, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob have been in this area before, but not these people. And they had maybe heard about the land when their forefathers were in there, and maybe some of the major features, you know, the geographic landmarks or things like that, but they had never been here before. Their leader was different. Moses had just repeated the law for them in the book of Deuteronomy there, and he died. they made a transition to Joshua as the leader. And the people in chapter 1 had said, Joshua, we're going to follow you just like we followed Moses. I'm not sure if I would have liked hearing that too much, judging by the way the people followed Moses at times. But here was a new leader. So they're headed into a new land with a new leader. And the process was going to be different. How did they know when to move and where to move in the wilderness? Anyone? Up to this point, how did they know, Brittany? Yeah, they had the cloud and the pillar of fire. Would come up, okay, everybody's got to get up, and we're going to follow it, and then when it settles back down, that's where we encamp. That was their process for 40 years. That's what they did. Now it was going to be different. What does it say? In verse 3, it says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. This was new. This was different. So that cloud, it seems, is gone as far as something that was leading them. Now they are supposed to follow Joshua and the Ark. Different. New. And even their marching order was different this time. Remember, when that cloud came up, it was certain families in the front, then everything to do with the tabernacle and the ark in the middle, and then everybody else after that. Well, this is a different marching order. So even though there's some similarities, it's all different. This year for you is going to be different. In some ways, it may look like last year, but it's not. You are different than you were this time last year. Physically, your bodies have changed. You've grown. You've changed on the inside. Your mind has developed more. You are different than last year in ways that maybe you don't even realize. Your bodies are different, your mind is different, and you know what? With those things, your emotions get dragged into it too. Your emotions are going to be different this year. Your feelings, your likes, your dislikes, you're different. It may not necessarily be too noticeable from one year to the next, but you are different right now. This school year, you have new subjects in front of you for study. You know, the tendency is to treat this year the same as the last year. I've got math class again this year, just like math class last year. No, it's different. You're learning some different stuff. You have different challenges with it. I cruised right along through math until I hit calculus. That was different. I did not do well. I was a lost young man. I cheated on a test, got caught in high school. Then I had it in college, and I failed the class in college. It's just math, right? No, it was different. It was different. Maybe you can't see quite yet how these paces are different than the paces you had last year, but it's going to be different. You have new events on your calendar. You have a new mission trip coming up. Brand new schedule of volleyball games for you girls and basketball games for you boys. You haven't played these games yet. Yeah, it's basketball or it's volleyball, but it's going to be different. Remember, you're different physically. Maybe you can last longer in a game than you could before. You're different. The mission trip to it's South Africa, right? That's different. New opportunities for outreach, I'm sure that Pastor Chris will bring along. New scholastic competitions They may seem the same as last year, but they're going to be different. The challenges for you are going to be different. And you have new challenges and difficulties waiting for you this year. And you don't know what they are yet. Maybe you do know what a couple of them are. And you're looking at it and saying, uh-oh, I see that coming. And something that you haven't had to deal with before. Your life isn't limited to just school. You have family relationships and friends, and maybe some of you have part-time jobs or want to get part-time jobs. It's going to be different. The people here, the Israelites, they were standing right in front of a challenge, and that was the Jordan River at flood stage. This was different. Are you feeling overwhelmed yet by how new it can be, how intimidating that can be? These people are in the same exact spot. Imagine how the Jewish people felt. There it is. On the other side of that water is the promised land. What God has been promising us for decades, and our forefathers told us about, there it is. That's got to be exciting. But they also knew on the other side of the river was Jericho. Big walls, lots of people, a flooded river. Imagine how Joshua felt. He hadn't come this way either. And he always got to lead 2 million people into this land, show them the way that they should go. So since you haven't passed this way before, you need to have God's direction in your life. You have got to look to God for direction. Because, you, like I said, it may look similar, but it's not. It's different. You have not been this way before. You are not the same person that you were at the beginning of the school year last year. Your subjects aren't the same. Your challenges are not going to be the same. They may be similar, but they're not. So you have got to be able to see God's direction. Here, in, like I said, in verse 3, it says, "And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." Yes, Joshua was in charge. Joshua took Moses' place for these people. And yes, the priests had an important role to play in these people's lives, but their attention at this time was supposed to be on the ark. Not the cloud, not Joshua, the ark. They needed to see when God moved. What was in the ark? The tables of stone that God had written on. Their history of their walk with God in the wilderness, like the rod that budded, and the manna. Reminders of where they had come from. But especially, this was becoming the object, the attention getter for God's protection over them in this land that they were going into. That's why they had to be following it, because God was going to protect them as they went into this new land. It also represented the salvation of God. God reaching out to his people. This was where the Israelites met and heard from God. It was focused on the ark. It represented God's very presence among them. This ark was important. And now they were supposed, the Israelites were supposed to look and pay attention to the presence of God, this ark in this case, as it went. It says that the Israelites were commanded to put space between themselves and the ark. In verse 4, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it." This is 2 million people about to march into the promised land. That is a big crowd. I thought Penn State football games were a crowd. That's only 100,000 people. This is 2 million people, all right? And the way that they had traveled so far, only the people close by to the ark would be able to see it. I mean, you've got this huge procession of people and it's a pretty big box, but a box being carried by people. People in the back and in the middle aren't going to see that. But now God wanted them to see it. He said, this is going to go in front of you. Now, how is a river built? It slopes down, right? So all these people, that ark goes down to the river. All these people are prepared, and it goes down, and you know how it goes. Priests step into the water, and the water rolls back, and they walk into... Everyone coming down that slope would be able to see that ark.
That's right.
As they came down. God wanted them to see that, to know that he was with them. 2,000 cubits, we read that, it's like, what's that? 25 yards? 25 miles? That's about half a mile. Mm-hmm. 2 million people have to keep half a mile from that ark. I mean, that's further from where we're standing right now to the lane, end of the lane at the red light there. That's only a quarter of a mile. They're supposed to keep half a mile away. Why? So that everybody could see the ark, to know that God is with them. God wanted every person to see it, not just the leaders, but everyone. Everyone could get a good look at it and at what God was doing. So seeing God's direction for you, just like the Israelites, requires space. If you want to see God's direction, you're going to need space. This means distancing yourself from the crowd at times. Because remember, it's you and God. You need to see God's direction for you and not just go along with a crowd. You need space. You need time alone with God. Yes, you should come to chapel. You should come to church and hear the preaching of God's word, but you have got to spend time with God yourself. This means distancing yourself from distractions. These things. Shut it off when you're praying. And when you're doing your reading. So if you're anything like me, this thing dings. Oh, what was that? Set it aside. Set it outside the room. Turn the volume down. Even that doesn't work because it buzzes on the table. And you hear it. Oh, I wonder what that was. No, you've got to get rid of these distractions if you are going to get direction from God. I don't want it buzzing on the table, so I'll put it back in here. Maybe you're familiar with the theory of relativity. The theory of relativity says that time and space are locked together. All right? It's the same thing with getting distance, creating space so that you can hear God's direction. It doesn't require just physical space, but it requires time. You have got to set aside time. You need time to pray. Preferably a couple times a day, not just in the morning or in the evening, especially when you come up against difficulties. It's best if you just take even a few minutes. When you're up against that difficulty, it may seem like you don't have any space, and you probably don't, but you've got to create space to hear from God and get his direction. Time to pray. Time to read your Bible. It takes time. God doesn't want you to speed read your Bible. He wants to meet with you. He wants to show you the direction that he has for you. And that takes time. And here's something that we sometimes don't take time enough for. You need time to think. That's why you need to separate from the distractions. This world is all about not giving anyone time to think. Music, movies, news, just a constant barrage of stuff trying to get your attention and mine. You've got to have time to think about what you've read, how it relates to what you're praying for, and where you're at in your life this very day. You've got to think. God wants you to walk with Him and not just follow the crowd. Even if the crowd is going in the right direction. Yeah, there's a notification. That one bugs the fire out of me because there's no way I can turn it off. God wants you to follow Him. Sometimes the crowd can be going in the right direction. You're all sitting here in chapel class. You're going the right direction. Your family brings you to church. Your friends encourage you to come out in whatever youth ministries Pastor Chris has going on. Yeah, they're going in the right direction, but God wants to direct you personally. That's awesome. He wants to meet with you. He knows where you're at.
Amen.
And He knows where He wants to take you. It's not enough to follow the crowd. Sometimes the crowd starts going a little wonky. God doesn't want you to go wonky. So God's direction, in order to see God's direction, you need space. But seeing God's direction also requires reverence. That's what it was talking about here in verse 4. 2,000 cubits, you gotta back off away from it. Why? Because this is the very ark of God. You remember what happened to that guy who touched it? Bam, dead. He was just doing what his leader, David, said, oh, that looks like a good idea. I'll steady the... No. He wasn't paying attention to God's direction for him. But that ark, that presence of God requires reverence. You have got to treat God with respect and importance. You need to pay attention in church. You need to pay attention in chapel. You need to pay attention at activities. And you need to root out known sin in your life. In verse 5, says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. If you want God's direction in your life, you've got to sanctify yourself. You've got to deal with known sin that you've got. Because if you're saved, that sin does not break that relationship, but it puts up a smokescreen so that you can't see where God wants you to go. In fact, you don't want to see where God wants you to go. When you're allowing sin, when you're making a special place for it. What did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? They hid. That's what you and I do when we know that we've got sin and we're not dealing with it. Our tendency is to hide from God. So how in the world is He going to lead you if you're hiding from Him? Or hiding a part of your life from Him? Maybe not all of it, but a part of it. He's going to say, I want you to go over here. That sin's in the way. I can't move over there like God wants me to move. You have got to take God seriously. Pay attention. Is He God or is He not? And you've got to see, in seeing God's direction, it takes responsibility. In this passage, they had leaders. They had officers that were giving instruction. They had Joshua. They had the priests telling them some things. And you have leaders in your life. You have teachers. You have parents. You have pastors. And these all can play an important role, but you have got to seek God for yourself. You've got to. And if you are hearing from God, it's going to line up with those other godly influences. It's going to line up with the preaching of God's Word. It's going to line up with what you read in your Bible. It's going to line up with things that Brother Anger tells you. It works together.
That's right.
But you have to take responsibility. God wants you to move. It wasn't enough for these people to say, oh, yep, there goes the ark. Oh, yep, and that family's gone, but I kind of like it here. No, you got to move. God wants to take you somewhere in your life this year. You've got to move. You've got to follow him. There's going to be people that come along and kind of prod you along the way. Maybe some of those people, maybe you know what it is. Maybe some of those people come along and say, oh, slow down. Slow down. That can happen too. So just like the Israelites, you are in a new place. You are a different person than you were. You've got different things in front of you, and you need God's direction for your life because you haven't been this way before. It may look similar, but it's different. And then, lastly, you need to follow God's direction. You need to trust God. And this can be difficult when you haven't been this way before, when you haven't come this way before, when it looks scary, when it looks intimidating, when you're not sure what's on the other side, what's waiting for you. You've got to trust God. That's why it's so important to hear from him. When you see a Jericho in your life sitting over there, Jericho wasn't in a valley. It was up where people would have a hard time getting to it. They could probably see it from where they were. Mm-hmm. So on the other side of this, not only do we have this river, but we've got that. God knows. Trust God. God knows the difficulty that's on your horizon. God knows the trouble that you have in any particular subject in school. God knows the trouble that you have with a friend or even, dare I say it, an enemy. He knows. You've got to trust him on what to do. Trust the leadership that God has in place in your life. I mentioned them. Teachers, pastors, parents. Submit yourselves. Trust God. You don't just have to trust. I can trust and look at that obstacle and say, yeah, God's going to take care of it. I believe he'll take care of it. But I'm going to stay right here until he starts. No. You've got to obey. Amen. God said, when those Levites pick up the ark and start moving. Get up. Get up and follow it. Yeah, half a mile, but follow it. 2 million people camped around. From where that ark was to the edge of the encampment was probably more than half a mile. They had to move. They had to obey. Not exactly sure where that ark is going, but I've got to follow it. This is what it looks like in our life. I may not be exactly sure where God is going in my life with this or that. But I've got to follow it.
Amen.
I've got to obey him. Do what the leadership sets before you. Most importantly, do what God sets before you. You need to trust. You need to obey. You need to be ready. Be ready to move. There at the beginning of the chapter it says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. So they got up, they moved down to the edge of Jordan, and then they stayed there for 3 days. But Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow. Okay, here we go. Here it is. This is what I want you to do. Be ready. Sanctify yourselves. See, these people didn't start packing when the ark started to move. Imagine packing up your entire house and have to move. Imagine just packing up your bedroom. Let's put it that way. Let's pack up your bedroom, just that, because you're going to move. And you're moving tomorrow. That sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? Just shovel this stuff in the boxes and garbage bags. A, B, C. That's not the way God wants us to move. You can't really move when God says move if you're not ready. They didn't pack when God started to move. They were packed beforehand. The leader said, we're going to move. We are going. Get ready. And they were moving their whole house. Yes, it was a tent, but they had stuff too. They had to get ready or they were going to get left behind. You need to be ready to go whatever way God wants you to go. And not just a month from now, today. God wants to lead you today. When you walk through this door, God wants you to do something. I don't know what it is. There's no way I can necessarily know what it is. You know, general things I know. That's why you've got to have specific direction for you from God. Because I may know some general things, but I don't know. I can't tell you what's waiting for you outside of that door today. God forbid somebody's going to wind up in the hospital that you love today. One pastor asked me to go on hospital visits. One of the things that strikes me after that visit is I'm rejoicing in the Lord because I'm walking out of that building today and some people never will. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know it when that day started. God knows. God knows if you've got a day like that in front of you. And he knows what he wants to do with it. You need to be ready. Because things like that can blindside you. A lot of stuff in our life, we can look ahead and say, yeah, I know what I've got to do for homework tomorrow. I know what I've got to do for chores tomorrow. I know what I've got to do, you know, for volleyball or basketball practice. I know. You don't know the details. You've got to hear from God. Because you haven't been this way before. Every day is new and different. And that can be scary, but can also be exciting. Especially if God is leading the way. Especially if God is taking you somewhere. What does Joshua say? He said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The next day, these people are going to go down to that river that was at flood stage. That ark was going to be carried in there, and that water was going to roll back like a wall. I don't know about you. I've never seen that. The people sitting up in that in Jericho, scared to death of these people. They never saw that sort of thing before. They heard about it. Remember when the spies went in there? What did Rahab say? Oh, we heard about how God brought you out of Egypt. We heard about how he rolled that sea back and you crossed over. They had never seen it. Now they're about to see it. God was going to do a wonder. And that enemy that was sitting up on that hill was going to be terrified. Because these people had God with them. It doesn't matter what's waiting for you. If you've got God with you, if you've got God's direction. Because he will help. He knows. And he is preparing you. Look forward to it. Those hard subjects that you've got for your classes today, look forward to them. Sounds a little crazy, I know. But God might want to do something through that.
That's good.
increase your discipline. Maybe that's all. Maybe it's something you're never going to use. I saw the Algebra 2 book sitting on Kristen Nadaski's desk there in the office. I've had Algebra 2. I couldn't tell you what's in that book. I might still be able to do it, some of it. And maybe I'd remember it after a while, but I still had to learn it. Why? Because I needed it to maybe go on in other areas of my life. Like I said, I ran into calculus. That was a disaster. It was one of the reasons why, when I went to college, I switched from being a major in astronomy to being a major in art. I realized, oh, astronomy isn't just going out in the backyard and looking through a telescope at all this pretty stuff and taking pictures of it. No, it's math and lots of it. And I realized that, oh my goodness, these astronomers, they're professional astronomers, and they get to use a telescope a couple weeks out of the year. And what are they doing the rest of the time? They're teaching math and science in a college. I am not cut out for that. See, I didn't know in high school what God had for me. Look at how much I'm using art now. I'm training for the ministry. Amen. Yeah, I can still use the art in the ministry for making book covers and designing pamphlets and things like that. And God blesses that. God still uses that. Last year I taught had a few lectures with the elementary students about astronomy. You remember that? Different planets and the stars and those sorts of things. I still use the astronomy. I still understand some of that math. God still, and it may not make sense to you right now. Why in the world am I studying this? You may find out you like it. Because remember, you're different this year than you were at the beginning of last year. You may suddenly realize because of the changes in your mind, I thought this was going to be scary. I can handle it this year. Not only can I handle it, this seems kind of cool. I think I like writing. I think I like public speaking. I think I like this or that. And you don't know that until you get in there and let God lead you. Amen. And He opens up a door and say, wow, this is amazing. This is cool. This is fun. You don't know because you're stuck in, oh yeah, I know. I know all about it. I know how this school year is going to go. I know all about math. I know all about writing. I know all about history. No, you don't. But God knows. And He's taking you somewhere. But you've got to be ready to move. You've got to be sanctified. Don't tie yourself down with the world. There's plenty of stories out there about young men or maybe older men called to the ministry, but they've got a job. Most importantly, they've got a mortgage and two car payments and a credit card that's maxed out, and they can't go where God wants them to go because they've gotten entangled with this world. The cares. They weren't letting God lead them. Maybe they didn't know anything about God leading into that place, and well, they've got to do the best that they can, but it's not, maybe they've also got a choice to make. Am I going to obey God? Am I going to look at the flooded river? Am I going to look at Jericho? Or am I going to step into that river and let God do what He wants to do? Don't get entangled by the world. Makes that decision that much harder when God wants to lead you. Take an extra step today toward being more like Christ. Be sanctified. Make His example your example. And Be expectant. This is hard too. We don't have to try to be negative. That just happens automatically. We actually have to make effort to be positive about things. Mr. Anger, what are some of the things that are bothering you in your life right now?
Bothering me.
Yeah. You're sitting there and you're quiet, but I bet five things have just gone through your head already.
How long is it taking to get this house done?
And then that leads into the expenses that go with it. Packing everything up to move. I mean, it just comes and it starts with one and it rolls, and the next thing you know, you're walking around with your bottom lip dragging on the ground. Barking at everybody, rawr, 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 rawr. Not concentrating on your stuff that you have a test maybe today because you got all this. No, be expectant. Cut that off. Say, God is taking me somewhere today. Where is He taking you? He is going before you. He knows what's going to happen at lunchtime today. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow to you and to those around you. He knows all about it. He is there waiting for you. And He's saying, come over here. Don't go there. Come over here. I'm already here. I know what's over there. You don't want to go there. There was an obstacle in front of these people. The Jordan River, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know anything about this promised land. They had this obstacle. God knew about the obstacle, and He was about to take care of it in a miraculous way. God knows what obstacles are in your life, and He's going to take care of it in a miraculous way if you let Him. I don't know what it is, but He does. And if you let Him deal with the obstacle, He might be knocking others down at the same time. Remember, like I said, they were looking off ahead at Jericho. They had this river. God was going to dry that river up, let them come through on dry land. Can you imagine if you were, the people were like a soldier on the wall in Jericho and seeing that river stopped and this horde of people coming across on dry land with this flooded river stopped? I don't know why they stayed. I would have been out of there anywhere but in front of where these people are going. God was taking care of that obstacle by what He was doing with the Jordan River. If you let God take care of your obstacle today, you don't know what kind of path that clears for you tomorrow or the day after. God knows. God may bring you to some obstacles. This is how we can be expectant. What does God want to do with this? What miracle does God want to do? God wants to show you. He'll bring you to that obstacle so that He can show you how great He is and how you can trust Him. He doesn't want to just show you how great He is. He wants to show everyone around you how great He is. Because chances are, when you come up to that obstacle, what do? You tell your friends about your problem. Remember we talked about how easy it is to get swept up in the problems in our life? Yeah. But when God takes care of that problem, it's also a testimony to your friends. Wow, look how God worked in my friend's life. I'll bet He can do the same with me. Look how God helped me with, okay, let's keep it simple. The writing assignment. The test, a quiz, the piece of music that you've got to learn for choir. If you're following God, following His direction, and handling it the way that He wants you to handle it, He's going to do wonders. So you can say, wow, I can trust Him no matter what's in front of me. He was bringing His people into the promised land. They had been tramping around in the wilderness, and here it was. That's something to get excited about for them. go into this school year expectant. What does God want to do? How does God want to shape me? How does God want to use me? What does He want to do? Because it's going to be great if you let Him. No, you may not, you don't know the way. That song, Lord knows the way through the wilderness. He does. All you have to do is follow. But you've got to be sanctified. You've got to make space so you can hear from Him, so that you can see His direction. You've got to take responsibility. You've got to be ready. And you've got to be looking at Him for yourself. You have got to see and hear from God yourself. He's taking you somewhere. I don't know where He's taking you, but I know, because I know God's character, and I see what it says here in Joshua. You're no different than the Israelites. God wants to take you somewhere. These people weren't special in any way. And in fact, look at the books leading up this, the five books. They were jerks sometimes. But God was still taking them somewhere. And He wanted them to look. That ark was going before Him. God wanted them, every single one of them, to look and see that ark and see what God was doing. Because it was going to be real important in this promised land.
Amen.
God wants you to see that He is there. And He is leading, and He is protecting, and He is guiding. In this school year, He wants you to know that He is there. Look to Him. And obey Him. Respect Him. Let Him lead. Because I don't know what's in front of you. Maybe you're at a Jordan River in your life. Or maybe you're already kind of in promised land where it's kind of easier, but you don't know what's in front. You don't know what God wants to do with you. There's so much potential, so much promise in each of you, right here in front of me, what you guys could do. It's exciting to think about it. It should be exciting to you to think about it.
It's
exciting to Brother Angerham, Pastor Roland, to think about it. Wow, what could these young people do in the future? Who knows? God knows.
Amen.
Get your eyes on Him and follow Him. You. It's your responsibility. Step up and do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the example here with Joshua and the people of Israel. Lord, help us to take time, create that space that we need to spend time with You, to quiet the distractions, to hear from You. Lord, there's no problem. There's no situation in our life that is too small that You don't care about and want to do something. Help us to pray about the small stuff and not just the big stuff. And Lord, help us to be expectant and not wrapped up in the difficulties. Think about what You might do and desire that for our lives this coming school year. And Lord, we trust that You are going to do some amazing things this year because You want to and You make it possible. We give You thanks and ask You to watch over us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.